Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn and he will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud, says the Lord, and your sins like a mist. Let us return to the Lord and offer God our worship from our hearts. Let us pray. Oh, Lord our God, we are still amazed that you would love us, amazed that you would send your grace upon us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. But we're thankful that your mercy reigns over all. Indeed, your mercy is so great that we find full and free forgiveness, freedom from our guilt and shame in Jesus Christ our Savior. So because of that, we rejoice this day and give you our thanks through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Jesus indeed is the fairest of them all, and we don't measure up to what Jesus has called us to do. So that is our sin. Let us confess our sin then before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of all mercy and hope, we come before you today to admit that we have failed you and ourselves. We have not loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have put our desires and our pleasures first, thinking that will make us happy, but instead we have been miserable because we have turned away from you. Forgive us in your mercy and cleanse us by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus our Savior. Amen. You'll see on the back cover of your bulletin that we have a wonderful art exhibit in our fellowship hall. It will be there for two more weeks. Let me encourage you, even if you've been there to see the paintings, if you haven't heard the recording, Wendy Wallace is with us this morning, and she's the artist, and she, on that recording, talks about the background to each painting. It really enriches your experience of those paintings. This past week, I had the great pleasure of taking our play school children downstairs. Now, there are 25 paintings, and these are 3- and 4-year-olds, so we didn't stop and look at every one of them, but I just picked out some and showed them, and it was interesting to see the power of sight, the power of art. If I had just told them the stories, they would not have picked up on things as much as seeing those pictures. Seeing Jesus' hands, the blood stains on his hands from being on the cross. Well, it just so happened one of the moms talked to her. It was a 3-year-old boy now. Consider who we're talking about, a 3-year-old boy. She talked to him about his experience of looking at those paintings and sent me the video. I wish I could show you the video, but I'll tell you as best I can what he said. He started talking about them. Now, he had the details, and some were out of order, but here's what he said. He said, Jesus had the body with the red spots, and then the knockers knocked him, and then he was dead. And mom said, well, then what happened? He said, then he flied up in the sky. And she said, why? And he said, because he was not dead. He was still alive. And then Jesus hid it in the cave with all the animals. We're going back to the nativity scene. He hid it in the cave with all the animals, and then he was a little bitty baby. Now, he might have had some things out of order there, but he had the story right. God broke into human history in Jesus Christ. And through what Jesus did and being lifted up on the cross, we believe in him when we find full and free forgiveness. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward now. We have a special treat. Our director of Christian education, Julie Parrish, is going to be leading our children's sermon. As they come, why don't you greet someone close by and let them know you're glad to see them today.
Good morning. Does anyone know what today is?
What, Ava?
It is St. Patrick's Day. When you think of St. Patrick's Day, what do you think of? Tell me. Green. Okay. What else? Colby? Leprechauns. What else? Rainbows. Pots of gold. What else? Magic. That leprechaun might do magic, right? So we think of pinching people when they don't wear green. And I look out in the congregation and I see a lot of people not wearing green, including myself. But do you know who St. Patrick was? Who do you think he was? Do you know? No, he wasn't a leprechaun. He was actually a saint, and he, in his teenage years, he was held captive as a slave. Now, do you think that would be fun? No. But guess who he turned to when he was being held captive? He talked to God. He did. And do you know that when he escaped slavery, he went and learned to be a missionary? Now, we've talked about missionaries a lot. And when he came back to Ireland, he was told to have brought Christianity with him. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, Ava? Do you know? That means he talked about God. And do you know how he talked about God? What is this right here? What do we call that? What, Leah? It's a shamrock. On St. Patrick's Day, we call it a shamrock. And he used the three leaves on the shamrock to talk about the Holy Trinity. Now, that's a big word, right? But the Holy Trinity is the Father, our God, His only Son, Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what helps us. It's our helper and our guide in life. And guess what? He used that to explain the Holy Trinity. Guess what I'm going to let you do today? We always send you out to get something from people, right? We always send you out with cups in your hand to collect money, right? Pennies. I'm going to let you spread the Holy Trinity with others today. So I've got a basket that I want everybody to come get two or three shamrocks, and I want you to go share them with other members of the congregation, maybe people that you don't know. And that way, they can be reminded of the Holy Trinity. You can grab three or four if you want. There's plenty in there. Go give them to anyone. You can take more. Now, did that feel good, giving someone something? Yes. And something as special as the Holy Trinity, three in one. All right, so let's make praying hands. And you just listen as I pray. Dear God, thank you for each and every one of these children here today and each and every person in this congregation. Thank you for sending us Jesus. And please be with each and every one of us this week as we leave worship today. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I invite, if you're in third grade or under, to go out.
Look with me now at our scripture lesson. We have an Old Testament lesson, a New Testament lesson. You see the page numbers in the pew Bibles. First Deuteronomy 7:9, and then 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. We start a new sermon series on the God I Can Trust, and I produced a devotional. I put some more in the narthex this morning. If you have not gotten one yet, there's a promise of God and a prayer that you can use every day during Lent using that devotional. So let's begin by praying. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we need your help to hear your word and apply it to our life, to turn the light on, as it were, to understand and apply your truth. It's not something that we can do on our own, so we pray by the power of your Spirit that we would take this truth and use it in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, look with me first, Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. God will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Promises, promises. Don't you get tired of hearing promises all the time that you can't count on? I think of ads on TV, guaranteed to work or your money back, or double your money back. I've thought about those kind of ads, buying a bunch of things and doubling my money. You know, it's a great investment. I know of people, I won't call any names, nor will I look at anybody in this room, but I know of people that when they say something, I'll be there at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. I know they're not going to be there at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. They may not show up at all. Or it might be 3:05, 3:10, 3:15. I remember very well growing up, excuse me, Mama, but my dad taught me that if he wanted my mom to be anywhere at 7 o'clock, he had to tell her 6:30. You know, it's just the way it was. Things haven't changed much. Let me tell you a story. I read a story about a church member who started taking a pew Bible home with him every Sunday. He'd pick up one of the Bibles, take it home with him. Well, the pastor didn't mind. He knew that that man was known in the community to be a liar. And he hoped that, well, you know, if he's taking a Bible, maybe some of the truth of the Bible will rub off on him. But, you know, after a while, if you take one every Sunday, I mean, those Bibles do cost money. And the cost began to mount. And so the pastor felt like he had to confront the man. So one Sunday, he asked the man, said, "Have you been taking the good book from us?" And the man said, "No way, Reverend. I'll swear to it on a stack of Bibles." And then there are the big promises in life that get broken. Promises like fidelity in marriage or caring for a child or a parent. The promises that really hurt. Now, I don't want to make fun of those, because those do really hurt. But sometimes laughter is good medicine. So let me tell you a story I heard recently. Story of a little boy who prayed before going to bed every night. And his dad started listening in outside the door to his prayers. And one night, the boy prayed, and at the end of the prayer, he said, "Good night, Grandpa." Well, sure enough, a few days later, Grandpa died. And then later on, he listened in one night, and at the end of the prayer, the little boy said, "Good night, Grandma." And a few days later, Grandma died. And then one night, the dad went and heard his prayers, and at the end, the little boy said, "Good night, Daddy." Oh my, the father was so upset. He counted the days. He knew about the day that it was supposed to happen, and that day he got up, and he just felt horrible all day, wondering when it was going to happen to him. But he made it home after work and came in. His wife asked him, "Well, did you have a good day today?" He said, "No, it was horrible. I was just so worried all day long that something terrible was going to happen." And she said, "Well, something terrible did happen." He said, "What?" She said, "The milkman dropped dead today." Now, those of you who are younger, you might not know. Milkman, what does that have to do with anything? We'll explain it to you later. It seems that wherever you look these days, people are breaking promises. Whom can you trust these days? Well, that's the point of this sermon series. There is someone that you can trust. Now, there may not, you may feel like there's nobody in my life, no dear friend or whatever. That may be true, but there is someone that you can trust through the rough times, and that is that you can trust God. So as I was putting this sermon together, I thought about, well, to whom can I give my trust? What kind of person would that person be? And so I began to think of those things, and then each one I thought about, you know, that person is God. You notice in your bulletin, I got five things that I came up with. To whom will I give my trust? Well, first of all, it has to be someone who someone who loves me. Someone who loves me. I need to know that you really care about me. I need to be sure that you really love me if I'm going to give you my trust. Reminds me of one of our members who recently said to me that when she turned 80 and was going to her doctor's appointment, when they came in, the first thing she would say is, she's a little on the blunt side, she would say, "Am I going to be a person with a name, or am I just going to be a number to you?" You want to know that somebody really loves you and cares about you. Well, what do we read in the Bible? John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And then Deuteronomy 7, I read from Deuteronomy a while ago, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous, Israel, than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery." I need to know, to give you my trust, I need to know that you really love me. Well, God does. Then secondly, it has to be someone who keeps their word. Someone who keeps their word. Now, we all fall short at times. The distance between our intentions and our actions can be long. But I do know people that when they tell me something, I know I can take it to the bank. Now, I was talking a while ago about people that tend to be late or don't show up. There are other people I know from past experience that if they say they're going to be there at a certain time, actually, they're not going to be there at that time. They're going to be early. They're just that kind of person. Reminds me of Psalm 15, where it says, "Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live in your holy mountain?" And one of the things it says is, those who keep their oaths even when it hurts. Someone who keeps their word even when it hurts. Now, when I read that, me personally, I can't help but think about my dad. My dad was a general contractor, and he would rather lose money on a job than fail to keep his word. In fact, he would lose money on the job, but he would keep His word. If I'm going to give you my trust, I've got to know that you're going to keep your word. Well, we read in 1 Corinthians, God will keep you firm to the end so you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. God does keep his word. And then Lamentations 2:17, the Lord has done what he promised. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. God keeps his word so we can trust him. Then thirdly, if I'm going to give you my trust, it has to be someone who has done it for a long time. Now, if you keep your word to me once, that's great. But I want to make sure you do it over and over and over again. I want to look at the long track record, not just the short track record. Years and years of faithfulness, love, and concern. Well, we read in Deuteronomy. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. Remember what I read? Keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. That is over the long haul. God is faithful. God has done it for a long time. And then fourth, if I'm going to give you my trust, it has to be someone who makes my concerns a priority. Someone who makes my concerns a priority in their life. Now, that might sound a little self-centered, and I guess it is, but I want to know not just that you are good and kind and compassionate to other people, but how I'm going to give you my trust, I want to know that you're good and kind and compassionate to me and that you make my concerns a priority in your life. For example, the person who schedules a lunch with me and then cancels. I forgot I had a doctor's appointment. Okay, I understand that. Next time. Well, my dog was sick. Okay, I get that. Next time. Oh, I got a better offer. Or the next time. I just forgot. Well, you know, that happens to all of us. I understand that. But if someone like that over and over and over again doesn't seem to make my schedule and my concerns any priority to them, then, you know, that. But God is the one who does. We read in Zechariah 2:8, whoever touches you touches the apple of God's eye, speaking of God's people. Now, that's an English idiom that comes from the Hebrew that is literally the dark part of the eye or your pupil. You know, of course, I got glasses on. If I take my glasses off, If you're talking and or maybe you throw something and it, I feel like it's going to come to my eye, you know what I do just by reflex? I cover my eye. Because the apple of my eye, the pupil, it's a very sensitive part of me. I don't want anything to hit my eye. You know how it is when something gets in your eye and you're trying to rub it out? Well, you as God's people, are the apple of God's eye. You are a top priority to God. God cares about you. He seeks to protect you. You're important to God. Your concerns are priority to him. And then fifth, if I'm going to give you my trust, it needs to be someone who is stronger than anyone else. You know, you might have great intentions, but if you're too weak to follow through, you don't have the money or the time or the energy or the health. Or maybe you do today, but you don't next month or next year. I need someone who is stronger than anyone to follow through on what they purpose and plan. Well, that is God. We read in Isaiah 40, do you not know? Have you not heard? Our God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and the people are like grasshoppers. He brings princes, the greatest rulers of this world, he brings them all to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to absolutely nothing. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. And what's the answer? No one is equal to God. God is greater than all. And so God is the one that we can trust. This Lenten season, I want to say to you over and over again so that you hear it and receive it and apply it, that you can trust God. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. I know what I have thought. There have been times in my life where I have wondered if I really could trust God. You know why? Because things were not going well in my life. The circumstances of my life were against me. There were painful, hurtful things in my life, and it seemed like God was not there. And then I came to realize that it was as if I thought that I had sat down and made a contract with God. Here's my contract. God, I will try my best to be faithful to you. I will serve you. I mean, after all, I'm a pastor of a church. I'm serving you all the time. And here's the contract. I'll do all that for you, and here's what you're supposed to do for me. You're supposed to keep me healthy and strong, and all the people I love, keep them alive and keep them healthy and strong, and give us enough to do what we want to do and live happily ever after. Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? I may have signed that contract with God, but God hadn't signed that contract with me. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we think when things go wrong in our life, oh, that means God has left me. Not at all. God is with you. In fact, you might even feel God even a little closer at those times because you're more aware that I can't walk through this life on my own. I got to lean on somebody. God is the one you can trust through every circumstance of life. God is the one you can lean on. God will be there to give you his strength. Now, God has kept his promises to people right here in this place for 169 years. There have been Christians, Presbyterians, worshiping God for 169 years. If not right where you're sitting, very close by. I know that the sanctuary used to be configured differently, but still, somewhere right on this corner, people have been worshiping God, and God has been faithful 169 years. But sometimes I feel like that maybe this church is at a crossroads. What will happen in the future, and will we continue to have people here worshiping God? I don't know. I don't know the future. I really don't know, but I think one of the keys to that might be this building that we would like to build. Not for ourselves, not for our glory, not to build up the name of Graham Presbyterian Church, but so that we would have one more tool in our hands to reach out for God's glory. Every now and then I have people ask pointed questions to me, and sometimes I'll have people ask a question. Why don't you have more young people in your church? Now, everybody, I'm sure, would have a different answer to that question. It's a very complex question, different ways to answer it. But I remember not too long ago, you know, this is my 16th year here, and I remember a number just a few years ago meeting with a session in the parlor, and at that point, we had even no dream of another building. But we were looking at this building, and what could we do to make this building better for God's glory? And so we came up with a capital campaign, and I remember specific people in the session, elders on the session who have children in this church, talking about the way the rest of this church looked. There are parts of it that they said, you know, my kids have friends who visit here, and the parents say, you know, if you don't keep this place up any better than that, I don't know if we want to come back. This just isn't very impressive. And so we sought to address that, and then we did. Thankful to God's help, your gifts, we were able to make changes in that part of the building to update it and make it look like a place that young people could come and hear about God's love. Well, that's all we want to do with this next building. We want it to be a place that God can use. And you know, I don't know if it will happen. I mean, God has not appeared to me in a dream and given me a promise. I can't say, well, I'm going to claim God's promise. God hasn't promised me that it will happen, but I dream that it will. And I think if it does happen, that building will be something that will be beyond our dreams of what God could do to reach the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, so that God's word would continue to go forth from this place. No matter what happens, I can promise you this. God is a God that you can trust. God will be faithful to what he's promised to do. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you. Yes, there are times that we fail each other, but you do not fail us. There are times we wonder about you, Lord. We wonder if you're there. We wonder if you're listening to our prayers. We wonder if our prayers are getting through to you. But yet, Lord, we know that indeed you are someone we can count on. You're someone who has loved us with an everlasting love, and that your love will not fail us. Indeed, nothing can separate us from your love in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you would continue to direct us and bless us and lead us in the way that you'd have us to go. We pray for all those who are in need this day, for those that we have mentioned and many on our prayer list that we didn't mention by name, but we continue to pray for all of them, Lord, that indeed they might know that you are a God in whom they can trust. Thank you for that reminder of your faithfulness. Even as we pray together, the prayer that Jesus long, long ago taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God indeed has been faithful to us. Let us be faithful in return as we give gifts to God's glory.
There is a flame in the shadows. There
Lord, ultimately, you are the one in whom we put our trust. We can depend on your word. We can depend on what you've told us. You've proven it over and over again. So, Lord, we give you these gifts now to say thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. And continue, Lord, to teach us the lessons that we need to learn that we might respond faithfully to you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Randy Bivens will be in the narthex, and there will be a table with two baskets, and those baskets will receive your offering to the Gideons. So we invite you to give to that important work. Today is St. Patrick's Day. I want to close with a benediction, part of a prayer attributed to Patrick. Whether he actually wrote it or not is irrelevant. The meaning is what's important. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. To the glory of God now and forever. second question.